Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
Scripture reading today is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
If you haven't already turned to Philippians chapter 2, I hope you'll do that. And you might want to also mark Matthew 28. We'll be looking primarily at these two texts this morning as we think about our lesson. It would be an understatement to say that last week was filled with bad news, because it seemed like the news just kept getting worse and worse. We tuned in at the beginning of the week to see the terrible event that took place in Boston, and then many watched on TV as a manhunt went on, and the fear that people were feeling, and it was almost palpable through the screen as you were watching what was taking place. As people were searching for who was responsible, and there were theories that abounded and misinformation, and people were struggling to find out what was true. Not only was that taking place, but also a tragedy taking place in a small town in Texas. It cost the lives of several and affected the lives of so many. Not only that, but it seems like every story that has come out over these last few weeks has been one that's been negative. We've heard the stories of just terrible atrocities that were done by a doctor to small, newly born children. It's just something that can be overwhelming when we watch all of the terrible news that's come our way, especially in the last few weeks, the last few days. It can be very difficult to process. I appreciate so much Kevin's prayer focusing on the grief that many are still experiencing and will still experience. And we want to continue to pray for all those and lift them up in prayer, but sometimes we feel confused and maybe overwhelmed. And I want to take just a minute this morning to remind all of us the meaning of the term gospel. We use it often, but the meaning of that term is good news. And in a world that has as much bad news as ours has, we need some good news. We need to hold on to some good news. And this morning, we're going to be thinking about our responsibility to share that good news with others, not just in our community, but in communities all over the world. And I just want to remind us, as we face and will continue to face all of these negative and terrible things that happen around us, just to remind us we can hold on to some good news. There is something that we can hold on to, and in holding on to that good news, we can have hope. And so we're going to be thinking about our responsibility to share God's Word, not just in a local sense, in our neighborhood, but we're going to be thinking about missions this morning. Our responsibility to share God's Word with others in different countries, in different cultures. I can remember growing up watching mission reports and seeing these slides and photos of people that were serving God in cultures that seemed so different and so foreign. And it was almost as if I looked at those and thought, wow, I could never be involved in something like that. That seems so far removed from me. And yet, as we look through God's Word, we see that we have the responsibility, not just to spread God's Word here, but it's a responsibility to take God's Word to the nations. And so it's possible, as we reflect on that, with anything, it's easy for us to become accustomed to doing what we usually do. You may remember in the Old Testament when God instituted the practice of the Passover, that it wasn't just the Passover meal that took place, but there was also almost a scripted exchange that we read about, where the children were to ask their parents why they do this, and the parents respond by saying, "Well, this is why we take the Passover. We were slaves in Egypt." You see, God understood that we're sometimes tempted to fall into the habit of just doing what we've always done. This congregation has been involved in missions and in mission work for years. There have been so many that have sacrificed so much in order to serve God in faraway places to us. And if we're not careful, we might become so accustomed to all those who serve God in this way, we forget the importance of why it really matters. And so this morning, I want us to think about why the mission matters. Why does it truly matter? Why is it so important for us to spread God's Word to all the nations? And as we do that, we're going to be thinking of the passage that Larray just read for us, and also the passage we usually refer to as the Great Commission in Matthew 28. I've been reading a book written by Billy Lambert, the brother of our own Jerry Lambert. It's an excellent book. It's a collection of his sermons. It's very encouraging. And in one of them, I was thinking about this lesson. He described being asked to teach a class at Faulkner University in Alabama. And Dr. W.B. West, who was then the dean, asked him to teach, and he responded by saying, "Well, what course did you have in mind?" And Dr. West said, "Well, I'd like for you to teach on missions." And so Brother Lambert is thinking in his mind, as any teacher would do, "Okay, what kind of syllabus will I need to use? Is there a certain textbook?" And he said, "Well, where would you like me to begin?" And Dr. West just paused and very kindly said, "Well, you might want to start with the Great Commission." And they both kind of smiled and they both kind of laughed. They understood that when we think about missions, we usually go back to that passage. And I want us to see this morning that these two passages have a lot in common. And so we think through just the steps that took place in the passage Larray read for us. Let's look through kind of step by step what happens. Paul is telling the church at Philippi to have this attitude in yourself, and he points to the attitude of Christ. Verse 6, "Although he existed in the form of God, he didn't regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." Verse 7, "But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being found in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So we began by him not regarding his position as something to be held on to, but he was willing to go to the place where his creation lived, to live among them, to be found as a man. And then Paul would continue to say what happens after he humbles himself to death on the cross, then he is exalted. He said in verse 9, "God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." Now let's think about what takes place at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 28. Jesus is there with his apostles at Galilee, and he says in verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Well, that makes sense, because Paul just told us that after Jesus was obedient to the cross, then he is exalted. And so it makes sense that Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, is saying, "All authority has been given to me." And because of that authority, he says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus gives his apostles a clear command to make disciples. Yes, there are other phrases that are involved as they go there to do that. They're to baptize them, and that will involve teaching them. But his goal was for them to make disciples. And it's interesting to me that Jesus never calls his followers to do something that he isn't already modeling for them. Not only is he sharing the word, but he is exemplifying that word. For instance, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus would warn people against building up treasures on earth where moth and rust can destroy. And then we look at Jesus' life and we see that he lived that way. He wasn't concerned with collecting earthly possessions. In fact, he didn't have very much. Jesus would tell his listeners that when it comes to praying, don't pray in order to be seen by men, but go in private and spend time in prayer. And how many times in the Gospels do we see Jesus taking time away from his apostles in order to pray? He didn't just say it, he was modeling it. Or how about when he told people to love their enemies? And we think about Jesus on the cross praying for those who were crucifying him. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Jesus not only taught how to act, but he modeled how to act. And he does the same thing as he stands before his apostles and says, you need to go and you need to share this message. He's not telling them to do something that he hasn't already done. He was the one who set aside his heavenly status. He was the one who came down and dwelt among his people and lived among his people and taught and left the people there that had been converted in order to carry on that message. Seems to me that's a pretty good example of a missionary. That's a pretty good example of someone who is willing to give up something in order to live among a group of people and to teach them and for that teaching to continue to be spread. Jesus understands what it's like to love people so much you would go to them and that you would share with them. And so as we look at these two passages, I believe both of them teach us three important things. If I want to be involved in this mission, if I want to be involved in taking the gospel to not only the areas all around me, but all around the world, I need to understand a few things. First of all, I need to be willing to look up. Both of these passages remind us that we have the responsibility to look to others and to look out for their welfare and for their benefit. You may not be like this, but I struggle with sometimes being very task-oriented. And so it's easy for me, and maybe you can relate to this, but I can be walking down a hallway and I can be looking down at something or I can be thinking of something and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to handle this project or what about this task that needs to get done. And it's possible for someone to walk by me. And I might even know that person, but I might be so caught up in what I'm doing that I don't even notice. A few weekends ago, we spent some time around the Opryland Hotel at the Lads to Leaders Convention. And because of that, there were Christians from all over, and there were a lot of people that I knew that I'd gone to school with, or maybe even that I grew up with. And I had a couple of them that pointed this out, that had to get my attention, and they were kind of laughing at me because I was trying to figure out where I needed to be and where I needed to go in that hotel complex. And so I'd be walking, and I could totally walk past someone, maybe even a good friend, and they'd have to flag me down and say, wait a minute, you know, and then we'd laugh about it and go on. I don't know if you're like that. But it's important for me as a Christian to make sure I don't live that way. That I'm not so caught up in my own life and my own schedule and my own agenda that I forget to look up at others. If you look in Philippians chapter 2 at verse 4, you find out that as Paul is transitioning into this description of Jesus' attitude, he says that in verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. That's the transition into the attitude of Jesus. He's saying, don't just look out for yourself, but look out for others. Because that's what Jesus shows us. In Matthew's account of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, you see this incredible contrast. Just a few verses earlier, you have these guards that had been guarding the body of Jesus that fell as if dead men, that passed out, that lost consciousness during the time Jesus is resurrected. And so now they're coming back to the chief priest and saying, the body is gone and we don't know how to explain this to people. The chief priests, who were supposed to give some kind of important and religious guidance, would say, well, here's what we're going to circulate. We're going to circulate that the body was stolen. That's the story we're going with. And then just a few verses later, Jesus' followers come to him. And he says, you're going to take this message throughout the world. And you're going to encourage people to do what I have commanded you. You see the contrast? The guards come and they say, what should we do? And they're commanded to spread a lie. The apostles come and Jesus says, you're going to spread the truth. The contrast couldn't be any clearer. It was a responsibility not just for the apostles to think about themselves, but to think about others. And so I need to ask myself, if I'm going to be a part of this mission, am I willing to look up? to look up from my daily life, to look up from my work schedule, to look up from what's happening at home with my family, to look up from how many different places I need to be in a certain day and dropping off someone here and picking up someone here. Am I willing to look at the lives of others? That's especially important when we think about our mission work. There are, at each of the exits of this auditorium, stacks of these postcards right here that list all of our mission efforts, the mission efforts that Graymere supports, either through the missions ministry, through the benevolence ministry, and other ways that we've supported different mission efforts. There's a list right here, and I would encourage all of us this week to take time each day to read through this list and to pray for each one of these mission efforts. As we do that, we're going to be encouraging ourselves to look up from our own lives and to think about all the different ways people are serving God and the encouragement that they need. Not only do we need to do that, but sometimes we forget the challenges that our missionaries face. Whether there are people that have been sent to another country or people who are residents of that country that are serving full time, there are a lot of challenges that come their way. I asked a friend of mine this week who's involved in full-time mission work to just send me a list of things that missionaries wish others knew about mission work. This is not someone that Graymere supports. I just wanted sort of an impartial third party to say, well, you know, if I could talk to someone about the challenges of mission work, here's what I would share. And so here's the list of things that he would want people to know about mission work. He said, mission work is hard, and it takes time. It may take longer than planned for something to go well, for a ministry to be established, for a church to be established, for people to be trained and to grow. It may take a long time. Missionaries are not on mission trips, which means they cannot go full speed 24/7 like campaigns can do on trips for 1 or 2 weeks. They have to take care of their health and the health of their families. If you've been on a mission campaign, you know that there's very little time for rest and for recovery. You just keep working and working. Well, that can't be sustained over months and years. And so missionaries have to learn to pace themselves. Missionaries often feel lonely and they need friendships and positive reinforcement. They're often isolated from other ministers. They might benefit from regular contact with a counselor. Sometimes we forget about how isolated those in other countries might feel who don't have so many Christians all around them for encouragement. Missionaries want approval and encouragement that they are doing the right things. They also want to feel like they are a key part of the sponsoring church's identity. They want to feel like family when they come back to visit. That's something that I've been so impressed with just in the last 2 years here, seeing how many members of our congregation, when we have missionaries that come through or that are here for a few days or a few weeks, how many people reach out to them and try to find out ways to meet their needs. That's important. That's encouraging for missionaries. And he says, every single missionary I know longs for people to come and visit them on the field. They long for that support. And so maybe this will give us some ideas when we're praying for these mission works of specific things we can be praying for encouragement for these individuals. We want to find out ways that we can look up to the needs of others. But then we also see in both of these passages that Christians are called to give up in service of this mission. There are things that might need to be given up. We have this incredible description of Jesus being willing to give up this position he has, this heavenly position. He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, to be held on to tightly. In other words, he was willing to let go of that. Maybe the best visual I could think of for this word grasped is the way, if you've ever played with a puppy or a dog and you have maybe a bone or a chew toy, and you know what it's like for that jaw to get set over that toy or that bone or whatever it is. And you might play tug of war a little bit, and you might even be able to scoot that dog a little bit along the ground if you're pulling onto that chew toy, but that jaw is not going to let go of it. It's amazing to see how tightly they can hold on to something. Well, what Paul is saying is that Jesus did not consider his heavenly position, his equality with God, something to be held on so tightly that he wasn't willing to let go in order to come down and to live among his creation. He emptied himself. And it's hard for us to understand what all that means, because it's hard for us to picture the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. We know he didn't give up his divine identity. He was God with us. He was the Word made flesh. But it seems that he gave up the position and privileges that would come with staying in that situation in order to live among his creation. He was willing to give up in order to serve others. And when we think about Matthew's account in Matthew 28, can you imagine what it would be like to have been standing there and to be able to look at the apostles' faces as they heard this great commission? Because we would know what they are going to give up. They don't know it yet. Jesus has warned them. He's warned them that that since people hated Jesus, they would hate them and that they would have to suffer. But they don't yet know about being told to stop preaching or being thrown in prison. History tells us that everyone of the apostles, except for John, died the death of a martyr. And even John suffered for serving God. They don't know about that yet, but it's going to cost them. They are going to give up certain things in order to serve God. And so the question that we might have to ask ourselves, am I willing to give up in order to serve this mission? Am I willing to give up in order to serve God in every aspect of my life? And maybe appropriately, we can think about ways in which we might need to give up some things to give sacrificially for our mission work. Did you notice in our India mission report Sunday night how many projects were funded and made possible by members of the church? Some members here at Graymere, some members in other places. Whether it was a well that might be needed, or a tank of water, or sewing machines, or a need that someone had physically for clothing and for food. It's amazing to see what happens when Christians respond generously. And I know there are a lot of good works and a lot of things going on. But maybe one challenge we could take as we look at this list of the mission efforts we support is to think, what can I do this year to help one of these individuals, maybe one of these missionaries, maybe one of these efforts? Is there something I can do? And not just in monetary gifts, but can I give my time in taking vacation days in order to go on a mission trip? There's a meeting this afternoon for a mission trip to Panama. Maybe this year you would be able to give some time in order to participate in that. Can I give some effort? Can I do something? Can I make a care package and send to these missionaries just to let them know that we're thinking about them and praying for them? We need to look up and give up. And the end result of both of these passages is that the name of Christ is lifted up. That's the end result of what we read in this incredibly beautiful passage in Philippians 2. That the name of Christ is exalted above every name. We might not see people exalting the name of Christ today, but there will come a time, Paul tells us, when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And the end result of the Great Commission was that they would continue to spread the message and the commands of Christ. It wasn't the human message and the human traditions that they were going to share. They were sharing the message of Christ, the commands of Christ. And so when we think about the mission works we support, we're not trying to go in and export our culture. We're trying to share the message of Christ. And although the authority that we read about in the Great Commission, the authority that Christ has, that's not a very popular word today, that's the authority that we're under. And so we need to ask ourselves, how are we lifting up Christ? How are we lifting Christ up in our lives? What am I doing in my life that is lifting up His name and that is showing I live under the authority of Christ? When we think about going on a mission trip, I'm comforted by the words Jesus gave His apostles when He said, "I am with you always." We see in several places in Scripture that God is with His people. And you may be here this morning and you're thinking about this upcoming trip to Panama. And you're thinking, well, I don't know if I could really do that. I don't know if I would really be able to make that trip. I've never done anything like that before. You won't be going alone. Not only will you have brothers and sisters that will be there with you to help you, you'll also have a God who's promised to be with you. We don't do this kind of work alone. We do that with the love of God and with Him watching over us. You might just be surprised if you tried going on a trip. You might find an ability that you never knew you had. I corresponded with an individual just last week. I can still remember the first mission trip he ever went on. I can remember him confiding the areas of that trip that scared him and the fears that he had. And yet he was still willing to go, and now he's leading trips to that same country. You might just be surprised if you participated. There may be something there that you don't even know exists. As we serve God and His mission, we need to look up at the needs of others. We need to be willing to give up in our service to Him. Not only that, but we want to lift up the name of Christ. I mentioned the list of these mission works and our challenge for every day this week to pray for them. I'd like for us to take a moment right now. I think it's appropriate for us to bow in prayer and lift up the needs of each of these mission areas. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we come before you and we have been thinking about our responsibilities, and we've been thinking about people who are serving you in places that are far from here, but we want them to be close in our hearts. We pray that you would be with the Bible School and Children's Home of the Americas, for the children that are being reached there, as well as those who are training in that area to serve you. We pray that you'd be with the Churches of Christ Disaster Relief that has helped so many who are recovering from natural disasters in your name. We pray that you would continue to be with Columbia Academy, specifically as we think about the Bible department, teaching your word. We're thankful for that blessing, and we're thankful for the blessing over the years that program has been, and we pray that you'd continue to be with those in Bible classes, that they would continue to benefit from your word. We pray that you'd be with the Happy Haven Children's Home in Cookeville, Tennessee. We ask that you would guide those who are leading that ministry and reaching the lives of those children. We pray that you would be with Josh and Divine Austin and their family as they're starting a new work in Phoenix, Arizona, and we pray that they could reach people who have not heard your word. We pray for Juan and Nahia Abanto in Lima, Peru, that you would continue to bless that work. We pray that you would be with Ruben and Flora Gallego in Bastira, Panama. We pray that you would be with Angelo Munoz, who is preparing to do a work in Panama, currently getting education as he plans for that new church work there. We pray for Ryan and Kelly O'Rourke in Galloway Island, Ireland. We pray for the Pearlington Church of Christ in Pearlington, Mississippi. We pray for the National Bible School in India. As we think about Peter Solomon being with us, we pray for the work there, for the television work there, as well as the 20 preachers that are supported either by Graymere or by members here. We pray that you'd be with the Potter's Children's Home in Bowling Green, Kentucky, with the children that are reached as a part of that ministry. We pray that you'd be with the Tribal Children's Home in Sulurpet, India. We also pray that you'd be with World Christian Broadcasting, a ministry seeking to share your word in nations all across the world. We just pray that you would be with all of them, that you would give them strength, and that you would help us find ways to encourage them. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. We've reflected on the Great Commission that Jesus gives, and He gives it to His apostles in Galilee. Just a few chapters earlier in Matthew 26, in verse 32, when He's describing what would happen after the death and the burial and resurrection, He says, "After I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." After His resurrection, when He appears to Mary, He gives her instructions to tell them to meet Him in Galilee. There they will see Me. And on Matthew 28, we find out it was given on the mountain Jesus had designated in Galilee. Before His arrest and before His death and His burial and His resurrection, Jesus said, "You're going to meet Me in Galilee." And He was true to His word. He told them it would happen, and it happened. He didn't miss that appointment. We have a busy calendar. We have a lot of things that are going on. But there is another appointment that Jesus has told us that He has. There will be a time when He returns. And as we see from Him coming to Galilee in Matthew 28, Jesus is true to His word. And He will not miss His appointments. And so it's important for all of us to ask the question, are we ready for that appointment. The good news is, if you're not today, you can be. You can decide to turn your life around, to put Christ on in baptism, and to begin serving Him on His mission. Or it may be that there's another need you have for encouragement or for prayers. If we can help you in any way, please come as we stand and as we sing together.